This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I never thought we'd see anything that could rival the hug with his father in 1997. But we just did.
That will be the greatest scene in golf forever, Jim Nance.
And that was hug with his children. If that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, if you're a parent, you're not human.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Wow, you're not human. Let's get to Rich Lerner from the Golf Channel. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Hi, Rich.
Well, now suddenly I'm ashamed to say that I didn't cry. I was not moved to tears. I mean, I was moved, and I was into it, and I thought it was phenomenal, one of the best things I've ever seen, but I didn't cry.
It was wonderful, and Tiger winning is astounding. And there's so many elements to it and so many layers to the story, but really, when you get down to it, you're talking about a guy who thought his career was over, who had so many injuries and was so beaten up. And anybody who's ever had a back problem, it is just unbelievable, the idea of trying to golf. Anybody that can relate to the idea that he was having a hard time driving in a golf cart because of the bouncing of the cart. We've seen Tiger pull out of turn. We've seen him go through all these physical ailments, and now here he is with finally, after all those years, winning himself another major. I just think it's an astounding story because the fields he's facing are a lot different. He is not the guy that is shots ahead of everyone and has intimidated everyone. There are young players that kind of smile at the old man now and are not afraid of him at all.
Well, 2 years ago, was it 2 years ago when he got pulled over in South Florida? I mean, honest to goodness, when you look at that picture today versus what we saw yesterday, this didn't seem possible. I mean, we were headed, it felt, at that time 2 years ago. And so just go beyond the back. And I'm not minimizing back issues because they're legitimate, especially for a super high-level athlete. But this was much deeper than back issues. This was life issues. I mean, this was someone who appeared to be really lost. And I mean, at that time, I was concerned for Tiger's overall well-being. I mean, forget about golf. So for Tiger to end up where he was yesterday is remarkable. And it's a testament to the human spirit and his, it would be too deep. I don't know if he, in the parlance of recovery, if he had to surrender in some way to win. Tiger always talks about his fighting spirit and never giving up. But he had to have found some peace somewhere in his life, because I always thought Tiger was like a carnivore, a lot like Michael Jordan, that he had to eat and eat in a big way and fill himself up. And it was wins and it was whatever else he could find. And I don't think it ever really filled him up. Whatever he found, it seems to have given him some peace and some patience. And for me, I think the moment yesterday probably that I'll remember would be the hug with his kids. Mm-hmm. I was worried about all of that just even a couple of years ago. You're pulled over. And I don't mean to dredge this up, or this is just only part of the story. To be pulled over in the middle of the night, you could imagine Elon saying, "Look, you're not fit to be in the care of my children." So all of that was at risk, was in doubt. Forgetting the golf, so that's, I think, what makes this such a powerful comeback story, is it's a human story. And I wrote last night, you know, that it was like a moonshot, but it's not, you know, it isn't a straight line, and it's not without obstacles, this greatness. You know, when Tiger first came out, you know, it was so obvious he had this gift. He had a genius. And I think, you know, you just assume with people who have a genius that everything is easy. And typically it's not. You know, people who are sort of prodigies have, you know, all sorts of other issues of just sort of relating to regular people and just sort of fitting into society. It's a hell of a story, and I don't know that there's ever been an athlete. I'm thinking about maybe Muhammad Ali, an athlete who captivated the public in the way that he has, and for as long as he has, through the good and the bad, mostly the good, but really in this case some difficult times and some controversial times. I mean, Ali had a period where he was really polarizing. And ultimately ended up as a beloved figure. Tiger, I think, certainly was polarizing. For the longest time, when that scandal hit, I mean, he was the subject of so many dinner table conversations. I can remember that period going out, and I was like, hey, what do you think of Tiger? And he was on the cover of the New York Post, I think it was, right, for 21 straight days, which was more than even 9/11. The public had this fascination, this fixation with Tiger. And it has, you know, it just has all the elements of a kind of a modern American tale, you know, going back to his beginnings, you know, born of a Vietnam veteran and a Thai mother. There's, you know, African American. There's early celebrity. There's the child prodigy. There's the scandal, which is kind of, you know, very much a modern American element these days, and particularly with our athletes. Like, if you can make it through a 30-year career in this era of social media and Instagram and people taking pictures and posting, it's a miracle. And if you can make it through normal, insane, it seems like a mini miracle. So, you know, you put all that into the mix, and I think, you know, where we're concerned, you know, the press, the public is selfishly, you know, we just wanted to see him do what he did, what he can do, right? I mean, he was the most reliably mind-blowing performer I've ever seen, even more so than Jordan, and I'm a huge Jordan fan. I love basketball. But, I mean, every damn Sunday, this guy delivered from 97 through about 08. You flip on the TV, and it wasn't just he was gonna win. He was gonna do it in some outrageous fashion.
So, Rich, as a student of golf history, if you had to put Tiger's comeback in the context of Ben Hogan winning the U.S. Open in 1950, 16 months after a car accident, and Jack Nicklaus winning the sixth Masters in 1986, where would you put it?
I'm not gonna rate it. You know, I mean, everybody wants a ranking, and I just think it's unfair to Hogan. Hogan got run over by a bus. You know, I just detailed, I detailed, you know, what went into Tiger's comeback. I think, mm-hmm. and it was heavy. So Ben Hogan got hit by a bus and almost died, and then won six majors thereafter. You know, Nicklaus didn't have, as far as we know, any physical or psychological issues. He just won at an advanced age. So it's up there. There's no doubt about it for all the reasons I just laid out.
What will he catch Jack? Is that humanly possible?
It's bad. Like, I didn't think it was going to happen.
Right.
I four's a lot in this era with this competition. But yeah, you'd have to say, you know, as Fowler, I thought shrewdly pointed out, 15 was always going to be the hardest one. So nobody's ever won more than one major after the age of 43. It's a big mountain to climb, but yes, it's back in play. You'd have to say so. I mean, I think he showed yesterday how tactically brilliant he is at picking apart a golf course and staying patient and controlling his golf ball and controlling his emotions. And so, yes, I would say it's back in play. And understand, The next major is in May, the PGA. It's
right.
at Bethpage in New York, where he won the U.S. Open in 2002. And then we go to Pebble Beach, where he won the U.S. Open in 2000 by only 15 shots. So, and I think in the bigger picture, look, Sam Snead obviously is in play, and that's an underrated record, 82 wins, Tiger's at 81, because Tiger, I'm almost certainly will pass that now, and the Wikipedia page can read Tiger Woods, comma, the winningest male golfer of all time. And that'll give him another sort of a marker in the argument of who is the greatest player ever. Is it Tiger or is it Nicklaus? And that's the more interesting debate. And where I stand is Tiger's always put great emphasis on the majors since the time he turned professional. 18 was it. And he always used to say he's preparing for and peaking for the majors. That's what seemed to matter. And if that's the case, then Jack's still winning that race. 18 to 15. And I always felt that in Jack's favor was that he took care of his mind and his body and his spirit for the long haul better, it had appeared, than Tiger was doing. Now, Tiger's fixed all that, it seems. And so Jack had won his majors 24 years apart, 1962 and 1986. That's greatness. And Tiger, up until this week, was at only 11 years. His last major was at 32 before the Masters. That seemed an impossibility that he would be done. And I know that stuck in Tiger's craw, that he didn't have the kind of late career success that Nicklaus had. That's taken care of. We're back on the train to Nicklausville. I will say this. For a 10-year period, nobody's ever played golf as well as Tiger. His win percentage, this is a hard number that I think will put it in context. Tiger's won 23% of his career starts. You think, well, what does that mean? Is when, basically 1 in 4. Well, you can make the Hall of Fame in golf by winning 4%, 3% of your career starts. Like, if you've played 20 years, 20 tournaments a year,
wow,
400 starts, and you win 4% of 400, that's 16 tournaments. If one of those is a major, you're Mark O'Meara. You're in the Hall of Fame. That's Freddie Couples. You're in the Hall of Fame. So if 4% is Hall of Fame, what in the hell's 23%? You're a four. Tiger Woods is a 420 lifetime hitter. That's what he is.
Wow.
And that's why. And now you combine the raw numbers with the comeback, and you're stretching the limits of sports immortality. You know, he is, when you say someone's an immortal, that means you're going to tell your grandkids about him, and it's a long story, and you're going to need a couple of hours, and you're going to need a museum, and lots of video, and lots of books. He is a sports immortal.
Rich, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thanks a ton.
Thanks,
Rich. Rich Lerner from the Golf Channel. Masters coverage on The Score brought to you by the BMW Championship at Medina Country Club, August 13th through August 18th, 2019.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.